CliffCentral.com. So, a few things on the agenda for today. We're going to check out a couple of new South African startups that Alpha Code have brought to our attention. Alpha Code, of course, this incubator that was started by RMI, Rand Merchant Bank, etc., as a way to kind of shepherd. Yeah, well, RMI is the investment company. You could buy the one or the other share.
Okay.
Yeah, just call me your local Anthea Gardner.
Okay.
Anyway, they're doing some amazing stuff. And we're going to meet some of the people behind these startups because, you know what? We're tired of hearing about how bad everything is and how the economy's not working. And I'm sick of bad news. So we're going to speak to some people who can inject a little bit of positivity and some productivity into the world. And that's what we like to support. So some startup news. Among other things, we will also be checking in with Zolani Mahola. I love Zolani. She is, of course, the lead singer of Freshly Ground, and we have spoken to her a number of times on the show. She's been a regular guest. She's kind of part of the family. It's always nice to check in with her. Hey, Zolani, how are you? Let me just see. Is she on the phone or is she on the Skype? Oh, okay. I apologize. I went to the Skype immediately.
Last time I saw her, she was dry humping Alan Ford in the
studio. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
What?
Poor Zolani. Zolani Mahola, how are you? Is that true? You were dry humping Alan Ford? What a horrible thing to do with your spare time.
Oh my God! What a way to start a morning. Good morning.
How are you,
good
gorgeous?
I'm cool. How are you?
Good. Listen, first of all, I read a really interesting press release the other day about all your upcoming projects, and I'm very excited for you. It's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you this morning. Also, just to check in and find out how things are going, because, you know, you regularly are part of our world, and I often think of you. We spent a little bit of time on Idols together. I've been to like 100 of your shows. I love what you've done with Freshly Ground. And it was obviously, it was time for you to do some other stuff as well. You're not abandoning Freshly Ground. But this is exciting because you're going to team up with Dom and Dave from Goldfish.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So that's the beginning of my adventures as Zolani Mahola. Not like Zolani Mahola from Freshly Ground, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just the beginning of my thing. So my plan is I'm going to go over there and record some stuff and work up some stuff. They're based in San Diego now, these guys.
Right.
I'm going to go over there in January, and we're going to have some time workshopping some ideas and hopefully writing some killer music.
So, yeah. Zolani, how did it all unfold? Did you approach them and say, hey, guys, let's team up? Or did they approach you and say, hey, we want your beautiful voice on some of our tracks? Or did you say you were going to write stuff together? How did it all happen?
I was talking to a friend of mine, Jill Strawberry, and she... And we were just talking about me and just what I want to do. And it was really just, it just came out of a conversation where I said, I'd love to do something with Goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, let's just make it happen, you know. And we thought, well, you know, how, and the idea came to do it through a crowdfunding platform, which was it's been a very, very humbling experience. Like not in a like, self-deprecating Zolani Mahola in a nice kind of way. It's like kind of more like in, it's like putting yourself out there, you know. It's like putting your bare bones onto the thing, you know, saying to people, look at my skeleton, you know.
Right.
Keep dancing.
Well, it's a brave move. I mean,
it's a leap of faith. It's a massive leap of faith, and I must say, It's been good. It's been good because now I'm almost at my goal with only 3 days left. I just need a few more grand,
right.
and then I don't have to give it all back to Thunder Fund.
So, but, in other words, I mean, you're actually looking for people to help you make this whole thing happen because you want to be able to put money into the actual production, and you want to be able to stay in LA and make it work for as long as you need to be there. And
correct.
Not LA, yeah. San Diego. But the fact is, look, this stuff doesn't just happen. It costs huge amounts of money. I mean, just flying to LA is like 8 days of flying. So you've got...
I mean, the main thing of it is, yes, as you said, I'm asking people to support, which my youngest has just stepped in, coughing like a champion.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
You should have it checked out for TB. Is she all right?
Okay, so he's fine. Okay. Just fine.
All right.
He smokes.
Go on.
So the main thing is that I want to keep it independent. I want to not use a label. I want to not go with sponsors. And the majority of the people who have pulled through and who have made this happen, because it is happening, I'm going in January, it's happening, have been my fans. You know, have been people who've loved listening to me doing the stuff I've been doing with Freshly Ground over the last nearly 2 decades. And it's been wonderful. And I must say, Gareth, to you, that the kinds of things that I've been offering people and the kinds of things that people have been going for is not just, I haven't just been saying to people, just, you know, put money in your pocket, put your hand in your pocket and like this, sure, give me cash. I've been saying there are really cool things that I've been wanting to do for a long time that I have been doing that you can get involved with.
Give me some idea of what those things are.
I'll tell you, like, so the most exciting thing for me and that people have been backing a lot has been motivational. So I love giving motivational talks to kids. Mm-hmm. At schools and to young women. So I've been getting people to donate $5,000 into me going to a school, an underserved school in the Western Cape. And that's been super awesome. I mean, just yesterday also we got this offer from a woman in Connecticut, I think. You know, she wanted to pledge $5,000 but to speak to a school in the States, you know, via Skype. And that was such a cool thing to do and to be able to do. So things like that, mentoring, like mentoring a kid or mentoring somebody. I mean, as you know, as you know from the experience of Idol, there's so many people who got a talent and they don't know what to do with it. You know? So I've been giving people the benefit of, as I say, these nearly 2 decades in the music industry, and I'm giving them a chance for me to have a whole series of sessions with them. And mentoring them musically.
Yeah, you've definitely got the cred, and you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to give something back, honey. You can't, you know, with all of your experience, you can't just expect us to hand out cash to you without you giving some of that wisdom back to us.
For sure.
I love it. So how can people contribute?
Okay, so people can go to thunderfund.com. Mm-hmm. Thunderfund, and you can go ahead and check out all the cool things that I've got to offer in return. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things that I've got, I'm offering very discounted performances. Mm. So people have pledged for me to come and play at the year-end functions or
nice.
Just play next year for private parties and stuff. So that's a really cool, simple way that you can pledge for that people have been enjoying. And then there's artwork, et cetera. So go to Thunderfund and search for Zolani. You can say Zolani Goldfish or just Zolani is fine.
Beautiful.
And yeah, my Instagram also has the same link.
Fantastic. So we can always just hook up with your social media and then follow it from there. But this is terrific. And you know what? For a company who wants you for their year-end function, it seems like they could do a double whammy here. They could get you performing there, which is always fantastic. And at the same time, they could end up funding a really cool trip to San Diego, and who knows what great music could come of that.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I've been quite overwhelmed by the support that I've already received from my community. So I'm happy. I'm going. You know, and this is only the beginning. You know, I want to collaborate with people in Africa. I want to collaborate. You know, while I'm over there, I'm trying to hook up with Dave Matthews. Like my favorite.
Wow, Dave Matthews. Jesus, that would be quite something.
Yeah,
well, listen,
I
love catching up with you. Next time you're in Joburg, let me know and we can actually do this face-to-face.
Great.
All right.
Great.
Good work.
Thanks a lot,
and good luck with the rest of the fundraiser.
Thanks, man.
All right. Zolani Mahola, and you can find out more by following her on social media. Go to Thunder Fund. That's Thunda Fund. And you can find out all about what she is going to do in San Diego, how you could be a part of it. You know, this is the nice thing about being a musician these days. You can actually connect directly to your fans. You don't have to go through a record company. You don't have to do it with a whole lot of middlemen and intermediaries. You could be straight up front about it. Say, look, I want to go to San Diego and work with Goldfish. this is what could result from that. If you want to be a part of it, then, you know, rather than just donating your time or your money as you might to a charity, which is a good thing to do, don't get me wrong, you can be involved with the production of something amazing. You could say one day you had a hand in a piece of music that perhaps will be world famous. Why the hell not? Doesn't that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
All right. Very nice. A couple of people with messages. Do you want to go to some of the messages?
Okay.
Brendan says, if Sia became rich and powerful, we've often spoken about this, what a shit he would be if he was rich and powerful. A real shit, huh, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh. But so, rather the shit you know than the shit you don't know.
Listen, Brendan says, if you became rich and powerful, you would probably end up with a Pope mobile, one fitted with your own private golden toilet. You would. Mm. Totally. I can see that happening.
Yeah, I would need a Pope mobile to go up to my estate.
Mm. In the mountains, high mountains.
So that, you know, it's quite an adventure to come and visit me. And then from up top, I can say, oh, down there.
You know how if you have rich and famous and powerful people in the olden days used to be carried around in a litter. They would be carried in a box with sticks by a bunch of, like, nude men with just a loincloth.
I think Sia would be, he'd be me too'd quite quickly, though.
What do you mean?
No.
I think it would go to his head. It would be having these wild sex parties. It'd be like tapping the talent, Gareth,
that
time you gave him a podcast. It was just a turnstile of hot men. And that was just for a podcast. Imagine he's got millions and a mansion.
Yeah, he would behave badly. Brendan also says, Gareth, do any of you guys watch Manifest? Very good series. I've watched the first three and will continue episode 4 today. It's well worth a try. Anybody seen Manifest?
I did as well. Yes.
What is it?
I'm also on the third episode. So the entire plot revolves around these people go onto a plane and they experience some turbulence. But as soon as a plane lands, they're surrounded by cops and paramedics. They go, where have you guys been? And they go, what do you mean? We were just on a plane ride. They go, no, the plane has been missing for 5 years. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, you're kidding. God, that gives me chills. All right, I must watch this.
So they try to figure out what exactly happened. And then people who were on the plane are beginning to experience different weird things. And their lives are panning out after that.
Crypto Tryhard says, our justice system has failed us again. A drunk driver caused an accident that killed 15 people in Kamati Gorge in Mpumalanga. The person got 2,000 rand bail and media was denied taking photos or mentioning his name in the papers. Wonder why. I mean, maybe it has to go to trial first. Who knows?
15 people and 2,000 rand bail?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like he's out there driving cars and killing more people. For all I know, he might want to, but
he's out there, Gareth, so he's got the opportunity to do it again.
Well, he's, you know, you also have the right to be found guilty before you are imprisoned. Anyone does.
Sure.
Say it, Ben. Say it.
No, Ben wants to be like RoboCop, and I get it. Sometimes want to go out there and just dispense justice, especially when someone's killed 15 people and they got 2,000 rand bail. It doesn't seem fair. Funda saying, good morning, everybody. Ben, Sia, and Nolo. Okay, very nice. Special mentions for those three. You know, you get that certain sound frequency that makes humans shit. Well, Sia has a singing voice of the opposite effect. It makes you constipated. Nice. Some real compliments for you this morning, huh? Michelle's saying in Cape Town is like winter today. So I don't know what the weather is like in other parts of the country. Some people saying, well, it just rains in Durban this time of year. I'm heading down there this weekend. Johannesburg, we had a little bit of rain this morning, but it seems to have all stopped.
It was a spit in the spot, Gareth. It was
there wasn't a lot.
We need rain desperately here.
Let us check in on some of the news from all over the world. The Markles.
Oh, our favorite.
Keeping up with the Markles. How is Seacrest not commissioned this yet?
Well, trust me, everyone else is running to get any Markle relative at all and cast them in the role of being close to the royal family. So what's the latest?
Latest from the Markles. Of course, everyone is fame hungry in that family, including Meghan Markle's nephew.
There's a nephew? What is he famous for?
For being Meghan Markle's nephew. Nothing more, nothing less.
Sorry, quite right. Strike that question. What does he do?
Meghan Markle's nephew is a marijuana farmer. And now, most recently, he's going to be a reality TV star.
This family couldn't be more embarrassing. They could not be more embarrassing. Can you imagine Christmas this year at Sandringham? It's Meghan's first Christmas with the Queen and Prince Philip and the rest of them. And they probably haven't seen her since the wedding because I don't think they really care much for her. Or Harry.
They've been touring as well.
Yeah, well, Philip is like on the verge. He looks like Skeletor. And you can imagine, he's going to say, "Are those dreadful new in-laws coming?" The Queen will go, "I'm not sure. Let me ask Harry. Harry, are your in-laws coming?" "No, Grandma. The one is a marijuana farmer." "Marijuana farmer? God, what would Queen Victoria say?" Yeah, and the other one's in a wheelchair and she's trying to get into a reality TV show of her own. Mm. So this guy's got, he's been offered a show?
Oh, not even offered.
It's commissioned?
They've signed it and there's a new promo for the show. His name is Tyler Dooley and the new... Let that sink in for a moment.
You couldn't wish for something more opposite to Elizabeth Windsor than Tyler Dooley.
I really think the royal family is giving back to the community here with this.
They're really going. Harry is going all the way to prove that they are every man's royal family.
Mm. And this is why Meghan, while they're on tour, has been photographed just clutching at her belly the entire time.
She's eating all the exotic cuisine, which isn't agreeing with her palate.
She doesn't even have a baby bump that's visible just yet. No. But I think that's a constant reminder to the Queen, like, hey,
I'm in.
Ignore the mess. Just look at this. Yeah, I have a baby for you. Just
nice. Focus on this, Your Majesty. We're carrying on the line.
Royal correspondent C.S. Ungweni with a very clear insight to her intentions.
I'm also a body language expert. That's how I know these things.
C.S. one of those commentators, you know, that they pull in for the royal events.
Cry.
Now Meghan is walking down the aisle. Yes, it looks she's stopped and she's speaking to Camilla Parker Bowles. Very exciting. I wonder what they're saying to each other. And Camilla smiles and they move on down the aisle. Yeah, beautiful.
I swear
she's
I could
clutching
be commissioned
at
for
her belly, which of course is an indication to the Queen that there is a new great-grandson or daughter on the way.
Yes.
Now, generally in Meghan's family, you're not entirely sure who the father is, but in this case, she gets to boast that it is Harry.
Maybe they'll call the child Tom Dooley after the cousin, the niece,
Tyler,
the nephew.
Nephew.
Tyler Dooley.
So Tyler's new show is called The Royal World. And it will be coming
the royal world. Mm-hmm. He's not royal. How does that work?
No, that's the entire spin on things. I think they're also playing on The Real World because the show will be playing on MTV. And it's quite funny that him being a marijuana farmer straight after the royal wedding in May, Tyler started creating a new strain of marijuana that he dubbed Meghan's Sparkle.
That's his contribution, huh?
And he's now also renamed his marijuana farm to Royally Grown.
Oh, beautiful. What a license this guy had. Listen, here's a song called Tom Dooley. It's actually a legend of an American folk song. This is the song for Meghan's family. This is how hick this is. Really, it's... Just imagine Tyler Dooley instead of Tom Dooley, all right? Dum,
dum. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Oh, Tyler.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. It couldn't be worse.
I love that Tyler has been speaking out about his... So what would Samantha be? Tyler's aunt has been speaking about Samantha saying she's an embarrassment to the family.
Because he's naming a strain of weed after his royal aunt. God, what a mess.
Yeah, so there's a new promo for the show that's come out, and so that's Tyler Dooley speaking out about the great new show called The Royal World coming up on MTV.
All right, do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Here it is. Here's a little promo, give you some idea of what you can expect from Meghan's relatives, their new enterprises. Talk about startups that need a...
My name is Tyler Dooley. I am 25 years old.
By the way, he looks like the kind of dude who... I mean, you'd expect him to be doing hard labor somewhere, you know? I'm not being mean, but he's not a great looker.
He's just average looking. He's just a guy.
But it's a very average family, I suppose.
And I am connected to royalty because of my auntie Meghan. She happens to be married to Prince Harry. I think I represent more of the average person that could be watching the show. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I would say we had kind of humble beginnings, you know, more of a trial and error. That includes Megan. Really just the friendships that I've gained, being able to find the best qualities in people. It changed my life forever. I work very hard for a living. I work 7 days a week. Work never stops. I do whatever I can to be the best I can be. The most outrageous thing that's ever happened to me on a night out, honestly, I'm not gonna even say anything about that. I didn't watch the Royal Wedding. I'm sorry, Megan. I didn't. You know,
he didn't even watch the Royal Wedding.
Oh, Tyler.
I love the way they say to him, they actually ask him the question, how does it feel to be connected to the royal world? Like he's been invited for tea.
But this entire show just sounds like here's a guy who's going to say what happens in his life, and at the end he's always going to shoehorn Megan in somehow.
Right.
So there I was. I met this girl, and we really hit it off.
Oh.
Kind of like Megan did with Harry. Like this entire show just looks like it's going to be add-ons for royal reference.
Can you imagine how Megan just wants to nuke the entire family?
Yeah.
She is so happy. Can you imagine? She's so happy she married Prince Harry. She had this fairy tale wedding. It's this love story. It's beautiful. And then these creepy, backward, embarrassing, hick family members start crawling out of the woodwork and just embarrassing her left, right, and center. This one grows marijuana. The other one is screaming for attention from her wheelchair and dropping off letters at Buckingham Palace. The dad is depressed and living in, I don't know, Mexico somewhere, and fat, and he goes into internet cafes to look up pictures of his daughter's wedding because he wasn't invited. I mean, the whole thing is just so embarrassing. All of it is. Poor Megan. Megan, if you're listening to this, I feel sorry for you. I really do. You're a sterling human being. You tried to make a success of yourself. It was really impressive that you made as much of a name for yourself on Suits already without these assholes coming out of the woodwork. But now you're in the royal family. They can't help themselves. Oh, what else is in the news?
Ugh. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah? Goop.
You know she's all about Goop, right? Goop is her...
She's still sending those balls that you put in your vagina to keep you stimulated at work. Is that what she's doing?
Well, finally, I think she's facing the heat because she has to deal with lawsuit after lawsuit. People are finally saying, actually, Gwyneth, you can't go around with all of these crazy claims that you have on your website, Goop. Goop sells a wide variety of lifestyle products, saying that, you know, they help your chakras or get you connected more. Well, now she's having to pay up with all of this because currently there's the likes of the National Trading Standards and the Advertising Standards Authority who are taking her to court.
They're taking her to court?
Yeah. For all of her claims, because if you really think about it, and rightfully so, the Advertising Standards Authority are saying you can't be saying all of these things.
Sure.
She had to fight off a previous case where she had to settle and pay $145,000 to clear up some of the claims that she had on her website. And now she's currently facing 113 misleading claims, according to this advertising body, around some of the things that she puts in her website. So then I started to do my research on what are some of the things that she said on Goop. Well, here goes. For example, she sold stickers. These are simple body stickers, and on Goop they've called them My Body Vibes. They sell them for $120 and supposedly if you stick these stickers on you, they will embed a specific combination of biofrequencies which designed to enhance and activate particular targeted systems. What does that even mean?
It means unpleasant noises that activate all kinds of bodily functions. It's kind of what Brendan was saying earlier about your singing.
Goop also sells a moisturizer that you can use to dip French fries in.
All right. Oh.
That is literally one of their taglines. You know, you can put this on your skin, but at the same time, you can also dip some of your chips in them. And they sell that for $90.
Sounds like absolute rubbish.
It is probably rubbish. So.
Yeah. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, you shouldn't be embarrassed about your online economic activity.
She's too far gone from that.
More than embarrassed. I'm glad she's now facing the music for this.
JD, you're on with Ben. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Ben?
Hey, JD.
I just want to know something. You're in my top three of sports commentators.
Oh, thank you.
In my opinion, it's Stephen A. Smith, Jane Constantine, and then undisputed with Shannon Sharp.
Who?
Shannon Sharp.
Oh, we meant to. Ben, do you know these people?
Would you guys let him speak?
I want to hear who these people are. We don't know what he's on about.
Gareth, I'm in the top three. That's all that counts.
All right,
the man speak.
All right, Ben's in the top three. Go ahead, JD.
Yeah, sports commentators. I just want to know, why don't South African sports commentators have more character? They sound so boring all the time.
Let me just translate, because your line is bad. Why do South African sports commentators not have more character? They're so boring. Is that about right, JD?
That is correct.
All right. Ben?
JD, it's a tough one because obviously the mainstream broadcasters are responsible for the kind of content they put out there as far as like the guidelines of broadcasting complaints and general stuff like that. So they have to be quite matter of fact. If they stray too much, then they could isolate sponsors, they could isolate audiences, people can lay complaints. So, I mean, I've often thought this and often thought about how we can maybe, you know, spice things up a bit, but it's not in their real interest to do that because all they want to be is medium. They want to be beige, they want to be down the line because it really is the safest way to build a business. Like for us...
But it's sports. Sports is not the most matter-of-fact kind of thing. I want to hear a regular guy talk about it. That's what makes guys like Stephen A. Smith so good, because it's a regular guy who's going to say some outrageous...
Right, JD, this is the worst. JD, this is the worst line in the universe. I don't know, you're calling from your toilet or something, but let me help explain here. Have you ever seen the Supersport line of clothing?
Is that still a thing?
I don't know, but that will tell you everything you need to know about what kind of depth and character and humor and edginess a mainstream broadcaster in South Africa represents in terms of sport. It's beige trousers, it's those terrible blazers, those boring ties, it's those boring shirts that overweight white golf players in their late 50s like to wear because it's comfortable and it fits on their very shapeless, formless bodies.
Let's make it a little bit smarter than that, Gareth. JD, I think what it comes down to as well is that there has to be a medium, right? Now, I've always wanted to get into commentary because I want to add the spice and that kind of stuff. But this is why social media is so cool. This is why websites and Arsenal fan TV, all these kind of things have risen up, because there is a demand, but it is still very niche. Your general population out there, as much as I try to fight it for years, the general population actually kind of wants medium. And it burns me to admit that, because someone like you, a discerning sports fan, wants more. But the guys like us are actually in the minority. But it's a good minority to be in. It just means that when we turn on the TV, we're not going to get that.
Sorry, dude. That's depressing news. But you know what? You've got what you need. You've got your top three, and Ben's in it.
That's true.
And it's also nice to have contrast. So when you've got something that is the benchmark, it's nice to enjoy things that are different to that. And I think we all live in the same ecosystem, but the majority will still be your beige.
That's good.
All right. Thanks, man.
Great show,
Dad. All right.
Thanks,
Jay. Thanks, dude. Bye-bye. That's like how JD sounds on the phone.
But we heard the most important
thing. Ben's in my top three.
But there was a
top
key take out there, Hiss.
Yeah. Top three. Ben in the top three. Yeah. Here is one of the Supersport presenters wants to say something. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
My ass is stuck.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. Those chairs only get smaller.
Right.
As you get older.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't see that one.
Do they still sell that stuff, that Supersport clothing?
Available at Woolworths, wasn't it?
Yeah. I see a lot of guys wearing those shirts. I mean, they're of a certain kind. I don't want to be discriminatory, you know, I don't like identity politics, but it's kind of what I described. I've never seen a cool person wearing them.
So, not Nas wore it once.
Well,
my dad owns a couple. striped golf shirts with the S in the corner.
Right.
Oh, it's so fad.
Frumpy golf shirts. I go to a golf day and they always say, here's your shirt. You can wear it like everyone else. Like, no, I don't want to wear a sack.
Horrible. It was two sizes too big.
Hey, I'm sure they've coined so much money from that, though.
Sure, of course.
I doubt it. It was more just a brand extension. Woolworths are embarrassed they ever got involved in that.
You said it yourself. Most people like that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it was a big money spinner.
All right, between that and Meghan Markle, ugh, what a morning. Tyler Dooley. Let's talk about Alpha Code and what they're doing. Remember we told you about the incredible opportunity that Alpha Code is running for entrepreneurs in South Africa? And the Alpha Code Incubate program is at the heart of it. Well, they have now awarded entrepreneurial packages to 8 of South Africa's most promising financial services startups. And the entrepreneurial package comprises of 1 million rand in grant funding, 1 million rand in support. And that support is not a freebie. It includes mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, and marketing, legal, other business support services. The winning fintech entrepreneurs also have access to the broader RMI network, which is obviously a huge advantage, and will help them to make their business scalable and sizable and successful much earlier on in the graph, in the projected trajectory of those companies. Now, to show off the incredible results of this program this morning, and because we need some good news stories in South African business, we decided that we would talk to some of the deserving winners, chat around the work that they do, as well as speak to Alpha Code about what exactly they expect. Now, the first company that we want to talk to this morning, and the first company we want to introduce you to, is Yalu. They are a digital insurance company. They offer credit life insurance. And to explain this to us, we've got Nkazi Sokulu and Tlalani Ntuli. Is that right?
Very right.
Thank you.
Impressive, sir.
How impressive to have you guys here. I mean, this is not some small thing. You describe yourselves as credit life insurance that you can understand, empowering you to pay what's fair and get something back. I don't know the first thing about insurance. Do you want to explain it to me just in brief, like how the idea came about?
Right. So Gareth, if you have ever found yourself in a situation where you go to a particular bank and you need a form of a loan, because you've got real needs. So a lot of people go to a bank, they need a loan because they want to take their kid to school. If after they've done all the credit scoring and said you deserve 100,000 rand, they will give you a variety of documents to sign.
Yeah.
And hidden...
Most of these will involve you having to give up your car and your house and...
and your soul.
Right. Because this is how they guarantee that they'll get the money back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you sign those documents, you're going to sign for something called credit life insurance. So credit life will settle your debt to that bank if you die, get disabled, or get retrenched. But what they do is they make it compulsory for you to have credit life. So now let's say that is 100,000 rand debt, and now you're going to have a 5,000 rand a month installments. In that 5,000 rand is this credit life portion, which what people don't realize is they have an option to use someone else as a credit life provider. You don't have to use your banks.
Really?
You can use Ayalu or anyone else out there. And so a big part of our role is to say to customers, you have this right. You don't have to take the banks. And you and I know if anybody forces you to take something, it's not going to be designed to your benefit.
No. I mean, insurance is already a grudge purchase.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But what I'm hearing from you is it's a good idea to have this, to have this credit life insurance. Completely. It's a good idea. It protects you. It protects your family. It protects your assets. Mm-hmm. And then your debt will be covered in the event of something horrible happening. Mm-hmm. But you can choose who you do it with.
Yeah, so you actually can. And I think that's the big thing around educating customers about it is people don't even know they have it, much less the fact that they've got the choice to choose an independent insurer or a standalone policy that actually can cover more than just their one debt, but cover various other debts as well.
How did you two find each other?
Found each other at our ex-employers, I guess.
He never likes to mention the name. I'm a lot more open with who we worked for.
You can say it.
You can Google the stuff, right?
Go on.
So both Nkazi and I worked for FNB Life. He was the COO at FNB Life.
Wow.
And I was...
They must have been pissed off to lose you.
I'm yet to be sure exactly how they feel about it.
And I was looking after marketing and sales. So the role was actually called growth.
Okay.
So we sat on the exco of that business and we kind of found each other there. We built...
And didn't slap you with a restraint of trade or any of that stuff?
Interestingly not.
You know, I'm really a big admirer of people who leave the safety of a big corporate institution to start their own businesses. You guys must have gone over this 100,000 times in your heads. What if we don't have money to pay our own bond, school fees, food bills, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
What made you brave enough to make the decision to go it alone, especially in this economy, especially at this time?
So for me, it's two things. It's the realization that sitting in a corporate, whether even at an executive level, is not going to give me the opportunity to make a real difference, real change. My ideas, my thinking, my values, my visions get lost in the big corporate. But then it was also finding the right partner. I knew I've always sort of wanted to do my own thing, but I didn't want to do it on my own. So I kind of wanted to find somebody who shared the same vision and the same values as I am, as I have. And I found him at FNB.
Look at you two. You agree? I mean, was it an easy decision for you to make?
No. So Gareth, I think...
Because you're being paid at that level. You're the COO. You're being paid a lot of money. The company is a safe place. You just have to clock in at work and make sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. When you're running your own business, you have to hire staff. You have to pay for all these expenses. You have to have your own offices. You have to make sure the cash flow is working. There's a lot of complicated stuff that comes into play. Why add, and as I'm speaking as, you know, the everyman who can't understand why someone would leave a cushy job. Why leave that to take all this risk? What's the upside?
So, you know, I always say to friends of mine that the person I had to convince of the most here was my wife. Because she's the finance person in the relationship. So she whipped out like spreadsheets and says, listen, this is how much we earn. This is what we do with our money. You leave, we have a problem. Right. And so,
it sounds like she's not helping. It's no. Like she's adding to the pressure.
She needed convincing. Right. And, but it was a great pushback from her side. It helped us, think through why we wanted to do this more. So the why for me personally was, there was a weird school report or a school exercise that my 5-year-old son did. Mm-hmm. And they were being asked, what do your parents do? And all he wrote in this thing was bad handwriting, but he wrote, Papa goes to work, goes to sleep late, and he works on computers. And that's all he understood. And so
that didn't make you happy. Huh?
No, it actually depressed me reading that. I was thoroughly unhappy with what was staring at me. And so, you know,
here you are busting your ass. Your kid only thinks you sit in front of a computer and come home late.
Pretty much. And so those moments really made me ask myself what it is I was trying to do with my life. And is it something that actually is worthy and that he'd be proud of? And so the longer I started thinking about that, then, you know, Claire and I found each other that we were in a similar headspace. And the idea grew from there, and we thought, yeah, let's do this.
Well, Tlalani, I'm interested with your situation. I mean, you sound like someone who's much too interesting to be in insurance. And insurance has a bad rep in South Africa because it appears to people who are not involved in insurance, and I know this is not true, but a lot of people don't get it, that it's a very boring, actuarial, number-crunching, unexciting, unedgy, you know, non-creative environment. That's not true, though, right?
No. So... interesting enough, I actually thought the same way about insurance. But right now, I feel like I have the opportunity to redefine that for myself. So the great thing about the partnership that we have is he's the number cruncher. And I always say to people, he's the head and I'm the heart. And every business needs a head and a heart. You can't function without either. And for me, my role as the heart means creating a brand that... one, people can identify with, but that doesn't feel so, you know, so depressing when they think about insurance. So I've got a really interesting challenge of making it fun and funky and interesting, you know. But also one of the big things that we're trying to do is to push education and find innovative ways of educating people around credit life insurance in particular.
So do you use technology to do that in some respects? I mean, are you a modern insurance business in that you are, you know, thinking about apps and being able to contact people across social media and that sort of thing? You're not thinking the same old traditional way.
Oh, absolutely. So social media is a big part of our strategy. Yeah. A lot of the educational stuff that we actually do is through social media. Right. And we get a lot of sort of feedback from people who will be like, oh, I didn't know that. But it's also just finding the right partners that may not necessarily be engrossed in this insurance thing, but that have the network or the extension into the market that would give us the opportunity to engage with the right people. I think what's important for us is to start talking about insurance even at an earlier age.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen, but no. It's because people see it as such a boring topic.
Funny, like we have a natural predisposition to figure out very quickly the benefits of something like a stock fell or something like funeral policies, because we realize that those are important. Culturally, they also have more significance. But people are loath to get into other kinds of insurance.
Mm.
And obviously, you guys want to change that.
No, we do. And I think, so the little known fact is that Credit Life is actually bigger than funeral. Right? It literally makes 20 billion rand annually. And it's a little dirty secret that the incumbents are actually very happy to live with. And like, Gareth, if you know how to even read financial statements, you can't pull that figure.
No,
it's hidden behind all sorts of
fancy language. It's in the small print.
It's literally the small print. It's a frightening industry.
So how are you guys doing? I mean, how long have you been in business, and what's the success so far?
So Yalu's now been in the market since the 1st of June.
It's new.
we've got quite a sizable number of clients. We cover now over 50 million rand in loans.
Wow.
You know, people have really just taken this on in the way that we didn't expect. We expected the growth to be a lot slower, but you know, people have really taken up, and we now have even crazy ambitions to actually just expand the reach. You know, we've got a team that absolutely is so dedicated to this business in a way that just really always leaves me speechless.
So Tlalane, how have Alpha Code helped, and being one of the companies that they've chosen in this entrepreneurial package of theirs that they're giving out, how does this help you?
I think there's a, and this is going to sound a little bit controversial, but there's a myth around investment only coming in the form of money. So yes, the money is great, but the reality is what we're actually looking for as Yalu out of the Alpha Code relationship is the networks and the mentorship, because that is something that is far more valuable than $1 million, which will be gone in 2 or 3 months time. For us, getting the knowledge and getting to suck that knowledge or sponge that knowledge out of people who have the expertise that we may not have is what actually gets us really excited, because we realize that we can't do it on our own, and we're not even trying to. So we're really surrounding ourselves with people that we know can add a lot of value, and I think that's what Alpha Codes creates for us, is that opportunity.
Well, congratulations on your brand new little baby.
Thank you.
I hope that it'll grow up to be a monster in the insurance business, and that you will be able to take a large piece of that market share and take a lot of that hidden fine print out and make it bold and let us know what we're actually buying.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Congratulations.
Thank you for saying my name right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know I look like an idiot, but I try.
Right. Tlalane Ntuli and Nkazi Sokhulu. We've also got Paygo on the line. We've got Philip Ngadi, who is an internet entrepreneur building meaningful products. That's how he describes himself. The company Paygo is a low-cost mobile micropayments platform for the informal sector to enable an inclusive economy by digitizing remittances through the use of blockchain technology. I hope I got that right. Is that right, Philip?
According to the website, so the Alpha Code website, as they described it, yeah.
How do you describe it to people who don't speak blockchain?
We're an online payment system that supports financially inclusive payments methods. For example, we let people without banking pay online either using our own Pago vouchers or they use airtime vouchers.
Do you call it Pago, not Paygo?
Pago, yeah.
Okay. So how did this idea come about? When did you sit down and have this this revelation?
Yeah, so I've been living in Ireland for the last 6 years. After my studies, I was working for Stripe, who are the biggest online payment system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I was working for Stripe, I had a side project, which was called Talent Hub, which was basically a LinkedIn for sports. And whilst we were working on Talent Hub, we got to about 14,000 monthly users, about 950 paying customers, paying us the equivalent of 300 rands a month. And when we started looking at the data, that 90% of our users were from Africa and Latin America, but 80% of the users that actually paid us were from Europe. So we started going to find out why we weren't getting paid where it mattered most, And we learned that actually our users here in Africa and Latin America were largely unbanked. And so that's how the idea for Pago came about, just looking at how can we bank the unbanked online.
And of course, in doing so, you would give people more control over their own finances. They would be able to manage it on a daily basis. These are things that before, if you didn't have a bank account, you would have to settle in cash, which is difficult for people, particularly in rural areas, I'd imagine. And if you're unbanked, it's also very hard to get an idea of what your actual financial position is.
100%, Gareth, yeah. More so for us on just that you have to settle everything in cash. Mm. And if you look at the growth of e-commerce globally, and even in South Africa, if you look at like the entertainment space where our musicians are putting, for example, everything through digital platforms, iTunes released a very interesting case study, Apple, showing how many people who had smart iPhones in South Africa actually had a bank account linked to that account, to their iCloud accounts. So that was telling us as well that whilst you might be supporting all of these musicians, but when they're putting their stuff out on iTunes, you actually aren't able to, you're not really supporting them, just as an example.
Yeah, I mean, people figure out this online stuff very quickly. You know, there's a lot of sort of patronizing attitudes about people who maybe are on feature phones and you know, slightly less smartphones. And people imagine that because of that, they're unable to figure their way out in the digital economy. That's, of course, complete nonsense because people know exactly what they owed. They know exactly what they owe. And a lot of people are very au fait with this stuff, even if they don't necessarily have the formal education or the technological understanding that on paper you would imagine that they would have to have.
Yeah, 100%. I think everyone is very comfortable with smartphones and all the technology and stuff. And then we obviously let down by financial service providers who aren't really servicing people in the LSMs as much as maybe the smartphone manufacturers and so on.
Well, good. Then you can go and exploit that market. I mean, it's not, you know, if no one else is, you go in there, you'll make a lot of money. So I can't believe you were in Ireland for such a long time and you actually did work, because mostly people just drink.
Well, I did that too. But straight off the matric, I got an opportunity to go over to Ireland and I've been there ever since, yeah.
Yeah, you were at Glenwood High School and then you studied at University College Cork, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the idea and how it's developed and how your business is positioned at the moment, what Alpha Code can do for you as well.
So, yeah, we also went to market for beta testing in June 2018. So we had a few contacts in Latin America and in Malaysia. My co-founder, he built the first mobile money wallet in the Caribbean. So we had an entry into that market already. So we did a pilot there. We did a pilot in Malaysia. And whilst we were doing those pilots, we had an opportunity to come to Cape Town for the Startup Bootcamp Accelerator. So then we packed up and we came here, which was a very good decision for us because we met guys like Nedbank, MasterCard, PwC, RCS. And then from there, we found out about the Alpha Code program and we applied to it. And what it can do for us and what it's going to do for us now is we're a team of five, but only two of us have been working full time. So for about 12 months now, we'll be able to bring on one or two more of our developers on full time. Here in South Africa, where we are now focused on launching officially, we'll be able to bring on someone maybe in sales and get our marketing going here. We believe Alpha Code will really help us from going from just revenue generating to becoming profitable.
Yeah, I do agree with Tlalani and with Nkazi when they say that the network is probably more useful and the kind of people you meet and the kind of resources you can tap into is more useful than an actual cash amount paid into your account.
100% agree with that, yeah.
Have you paid yourself? And by the way, you two come in on this. Have you guys managed to pay yourselves yet? Because that's always the thing that entrepreneurs don't talk about, because embarrassingly, you sometimes do and you sometimes don't get to the end of the month with money. I mean, this is a reality, right?
Yeah,
it is. We went for 8 months without paying ourselves.
Nobody likes to talk about that. Everybody goes, oh, it must be wonderful to be an entrepreneur.
It got very bleak at one stage. I think Kalale and I were we were borrowing money from all sorts of friends and family. Grandparents too were liquidating their pensions. It was really getting depressing at one stage.
Have you paid them all back?
We paid them all back, yes.
Philip, how about you?
Well, yeah, same boats, but I haven't managed to pay everyone back.
You'll get there. Listen, congratulations to all of you guys. I hope that we'll continue to hear from Alpha Code about your progress, and may you all have tremendous success.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff. There we go. Philip Ngadi and the two bosses of Yalu, Nkasi Sokhulu and Tlalane Ntuli. It's a pleasure to meet you guys. Keep on Alpha Code. You can find out more and you can go to their website, which is alphacode.club, as I recall. If you want to find out more, though, you can also go to cliffcentral.com, link to the podcast, and we'll put all the info up there for you so you can find out about each of these companies, where they're going, what they're doing, who's behind them, and how you might be able to start your own business on the mold and on the model of these terrific entrepreneurs. So proud of this stuff because it makes me very happy in an economy where all we get is bad news all the time. You've got to hear the good stories. Gives you a reason to believe that we are going to break through this never-ending spiral that people keep referring to in terms of the growth of the economy and unemployment. I see today the unemployment rate's gone up again. It's not going to be big businesses and government that create jobs. It's going to be Yalu. It's going to be smaller companies. It's going to be companies like Pago. Yeah. It's not going to be these big corporates. They can't. Mm. They if anything, they're cutting jobs, right? Mm. Mm. I mean, absolutely. You guys know. Yeah. This is the experience.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. If you want to find out more, you know where to go. Cliffcentral.com. We've got a bunch of really good shows lined up for you the course of today, and I expect that you will find something to your liking if you go to our podcast series. And by the way, if you want to know more about how to run your own finances a little better, Discovery have put together a great series called Smart Money, which you can find on cliffcentral.com. It's 12 episodes. There's also a great series called Decrypto, which you might want to look at. That's brought to you by Luno. The next episode of Luno's Decrypto coming up next. First, here's the unnews. All right, well, billionaire Nikki Oppenheimer and Manny DiPico from the ANC are calling Malusi Gigaba a liar over dealings around a private terminal at OR Tambo. DiPico said that Gigaba gave permission for Fireblade Aviation to operate from this terminal, but Gigaba is denying this. He's denying a lot at the moment, is Malusi, but he isn't denying the release of another dick pic. He feels the first one went quite well, and the follow-up may even further his political career. Patricia DeLille's attempts to plead her innocence are becoming tougher by the day. The DA are starting to succeed in uprooting her for being crooked, but luckily for DeLille, not many people are noticing, as this week the most crooked woman in global politics has arrived in South Africa. And finally, Rassie Erasmus looks more and more likely to take on the Bulls coaching job next season. Already with 73 jobs in SA Rugby, Stats SA feel that he is personally raising unemployment figures by taking on multiple roles just for himself. That is the unnews. We will see you tomorrow. Decrypto and the next episode of Decrypto coming up next. In case you want to know what this one's about, this episode, blockchain. We spoke about this a little bit just a moment ago with Philip. Blockchain is one of those terms that everybody uses, but what is it exactly? How does it work? And does it have other applications beside cryptocurrency? I spoke to Sonia Cunnell from the Blockchain Academy to find out more. Decrypto is powered by Luno, Africa's first cryptocurrency platform. New Luno customers can take advantage of 50 rands worth of free Bitcoin when making a first purchase of 500 rand or more with the promo code DECRYPTO50. And I know a lot of people very upset with the price of cryptocurrencies at the moment, but that is not the whole story. The technology behind it is still something that is absolutely valuable and will continue to be. If you want to find out more, listen to this episode and you will find all the information. Plus, you can get 50 rands worth of free Bitcoin. Make your first purchase of 500 rand or more with the promo code DECRYPTO50. There we go. It's that easy. Coming up next, Decrypto, the newest episode. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.